the Arlington Fly-In had a great 2009. Gamma opens an office in Europe. And sixth time is the charm for Endeavor. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, July 16th, 2009. NASA finally got Endeavor off the launch pad yesterday. The 6:03 p.m. launch from Kennedy Space Center came off without problems, and what's been described by some as the front porch of the Japanese Kibo lab module is now on its way to the International Space Station. Endeavor's 16-day mission will include 5 spacewalks. The first landing opportunity at Kennedy is scheduled for Friday, July 31st at 10:45 a.m. Eastern Time. The Arlington Regional Fly-In reports an increase both in attendance and the number of airplanes participating in this year's event compared to last year. Longtime event executive director Barbara Tolbert called the turnout phenomenal. Quote, "We are still verifying the number of aircraft. At times, the registrations even overloaded our system, but it looks to be well ahead of last year." Unquote. The number of human attendees is reported up 14%. The one discouraging trend was the number of Canadian aircraft on the field. Arlington is just a 100-mile drive from Vancouver, B.C., and less by air. But this marked the first year the event has faced new U.S. homeland security hassles for pilots flying into the U.S. Of the changes, Barb commented, quote, "Customs officials were very helpful and cooperative, but it certainly appears that the new border crossing regulations in the United States and the E-APIS system had a detrimental effect. The people I spoke with who did fly down said that it was not as difficult as some were making it out to be, but pilots seemed to deal with the large changes in the procedures by not dealing with them." Unquote. EAA Manager of Field Operations Ron Wagner said his forums on lightsport aircraft and affordable flying were remarkably well attended despite rainy weather on Sunday. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association has responded to growth in European business by opening an office in Brussels, Belgium. Brian Davey, an Irish native, has been hired to head that office. His job is to represent the general aviation manufacturing industry before European institutions, including EASA, and to promote the continued development of a safe and sustainable aviation industry. Davey's resume includes work for APCO Worldwide in its European Union Regulatory and Public Policy Division, and a cabinet position under Charlie McCreevy, European Commissioner for Internal Market and Services. Gamma President Pete Bunce commented, quote, "As we posture our industry for the global economic recovery, we think the timing could not be better to step up our presence in Europe. Brian Davey's expertise and experience will ensure that the worldwide general aviation manufacturing industry continues to be a strong contributing partner with European regulatory authorities." Unquote. Up next on ANN, the VH-71 cancellation costs 600 more jobs at Lockheed. Boeing says its defense unit will cut 1,000 positions. And EASA certifies the Mooney Ovation 2 GX. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 16th. I'm Paul Platt. Lockheed Martin says cancellation of the VH-71 presidential helicopter program will cost the company another 600 jobs at its facility in Owego, New York. Lockheed spokesman Troy Scully told Bloomberg the cuts were announced Tuesday at the facility and will bring the total workforce there to about 3,000 by the end of the year. That's down from 4,000 in January. Scully also said this would be the last round of cuts in connection with the VH-71 program. U.S. Congressman Maurice Hinchey is a Democrat who represents the district that includes the Owego plant. He's asking the Pentagon to continue the VH-71 program, saying it would cost up to $21 billion to start over from scratch. That's more than he estimates it would cost for Lockheed to finish the current project. Hinchey says he will attempt to secure funding for the VH-71 program in the 2010 Defense Appropriations Bill. Boeing Integrated Defense Systems distributed a memo on Monday announcing it will cut 1,000 positions within the company, but did not offer specifics on where those cuts will happen. The memo came from Boeing IDS Chief Jim Albaugh. As ANN reported on January 28th, Boeing CEO Jim McNerney followed up news of a $56 million loss in 2008's fourth quarter with a promise to investors that the company would cut 10,000 positions company-wide in 2009. Boeing spokesman Dan Beck declined comment when asked by the Associated Press if the new cuts at IDS were part of that plan. Mooney Airplane Company says its M20R Ovation 2 GX has received certification from the European Aviation Safety Administration. The plane claims a top speed of 190 knots at 20,000 feet and a range of over 1,800 nautical miles traveling at 173 knots. Bernard Chong of Air Touring Limited, one of Mooney's European dealers, says the plane is perfectly suited for the European market. Quote, "With the installation of optional long-range tanks, the range can be pushed even further to 2,400 nautical miles," unquote. The new EASA certification includes Garmin G1000 avionics. The steam gauge version of the plane had previously received approval in some individual European countries. If the incredible avionics options for GA aircraft have you somewhat bewildered, you might want to pick up the 2009-2010 edition of the Aircraft Electronics Association's Pilot's Guide to Avionics. It's free and will be available for the first time at EAA AirVenture. The guide holds a complete directory of AEA member certified repair stations and associate members and has articles and buyer's guides. The guide is also sent to all AEA members, National Association of Flight Instructors, and flying clubs throughout the United States. Still ahead, the airlines could be facing a really tough winter. Federal subsidies for small town connector service may be rising. And here's why people buy hull insurance. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, July 16th. I'm Paul Plack. NASA is offering undergraduate students an opportunity to test experiments in microgravity aboard NASA's Weightless Wonder aircraft. It's part of NASA's Reduced Gravity Education Flight Program, which gives aspiring explorers a chance to propose, design, and fabricate a reduced gravity experiment. Selected teams will get to test and evaluate their experiments aboard NASA's Reduced Gravity Airplane, which flies a series of 20 to 30 parabolas per flight to produce gravity ranging from 0 to 2G. Proposals are due to NASA by October 28th. Interested students are strongly advised to submit a letter of intent by September 16th. Winners will be announced on December 9th and will fly in the summer of 2010. Get details using the FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated July 15th, at aero-news.net. An analysis in the New York Times says that unless things pick up, the winter of 2009-2010 will be one of the bleakest ever for airlines in the U.S. In particular, a decline in international travel lagged behind the domestic onset of the recession in the U.S., but it's here now, along with volatile fuel prices. Analysts told the Times we can expect more fees, job cuts, and route cuts, but that the airlines can get through this. Washington must not be too concerned about cutting waste. The Essential Air Services Program, which created federal subsidies to allow empty 19-seat turboprops to keep flying to 107 small U.S. towns after the airlines were deregulated in the 70s, has been signed off for another year by a House Appropriations Subcommittee. The Associated Press reports the Bush administration tried to cut the program several times, but lawmakers stuck up for the service. This year, President Obama has included a major increase in funding for EAS after getting a demand signed by 22 lawmakers. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood admits, quote, the program design must be updated and made more cost-effective, unquote, adding that there needs to be, quote, a more sustainable program that will provide better value for passengers and the American taxpayer, unquote. And finally, if you don't have a warranty, at least get insurance. And don't wait till you get the plane home. The Boston Herald reports that Brooks Ladd of Chelmsford, Massachusetts, bought a 1946 Aranca Champ from Maine Conservation Commissioner Patrick McGowan on the condition that McGowan would fly Ladd and his new toy home after closing the deal. Well, they made it as far as Auburn, Massachusetts before the engine quit, resulting in a forced landing on the Fox Ridge Golf Club. The 63-year-old Oleo Struts just weren't up to the adventure. They collapsed. The prop was bent, the fuselage was damaged. Neither man was injured, but Ladd had owned the plane for all of 40 minutes at the time of the accident. Fortunately, he bought insurance. Ladd says he expects to be fully reimbursed for the lost plane, but it's still a bummer to see your N number at the top of an NTSB report. I can relate to this story. In August of 2002, my instructor sent me on my first solo out of the pattern. It was in a Champ, a 7BCM, and the Continental 65 chose that flight to rebel against being fed 100 low-lead. It swallowed an exhaust valve 11 miles from the airport. Fortunately, I was at 2,800 feet AGL and managed to limp it back home before it quit completely. The owner of the plane and that airport gave me the piston and the valve as a souvenir, and I still have them. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Bob Reese, the chief judge at both the Arlington Fly-In and at Oshkosh, about what the judges look for in aircraft competing for awards and how PDAs have replaced paperwork in administering the scoring. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.